So what a fun time, this whole season, the day. I mean, I hope you have the joy of the Lord in your heart and that you're just enjoying being in God's house today. I want to take just a couple of minutes and give you a simple thought. You know, you think about Christmas, and I mean, come on, Pastor Caleb, what else can be said about Christmas? What else can you do? I mean, we celebrate this time every year. We ponder these thoughts. And to be honest, I don't think anything new could be said about Christmas. But it's good for us to be reminded of the truths and what it's all about. We need to be reminded of those things. So we are in Luke chapter 2, and I'm just going to give you a simple thought here as we look at this text. And, you know, as you think about a different seasons, different times of the year, and there are key words that kind of describe that time of year. If you think about it, or if somebody says resurrection, what do you think of? Easter. I mean, it just comes out. If somebody says gratitude, Thanksgiving. I mean, there's a certain just kind of a word that describes that season, that time of year. You know, if somebody said independence, well, I wonder what would be a clarifying word for Christmas. And as I pondered this, there are so many things. Somebody already said giving as a word that clarifies or would be a description of Christmas. What about another one? Any others, options? Joy. What? Savior, the Savior. Gathering. Getting together with friends and family. Any other defining words that maybe Christmas kind of encapsulates this season? Love. Hope. There's so many things. When you think about Christmas, it's not, there's no way it could be summed up in one word. And there, you know, Emmanuel, God with us. Wonder. The wonder of Christmas. And I mean, there's so many things that as we say those words, they would bring to mind the Christmas time, the Christmas season. I want to put three words that I think kind of clarify Christmas for us. They encapsulate this whole Christmas season. They by no means do it justice. These three words cannot be all that Christmas is. But they're found in our text, and I just thought they would be good for us to ponder and think about this morning what they might mean to us. As we begin to look at the text, could I first open our time of the Word of God here with prayer, if you would. Bow your heads with me. Lord, we come to you here at this service here as we approach the end of 2018, the Sunday before Christmas, and we're thankful, God, for your abundant blessings on us as a people and individuals. We acknowledge, God, at this Christmas season where many gifts are given, we acknowledge this morning, God, that every good gift and perfect gift cometh from above. Lord, we come to your house and we bring our tithes, we bring our offerings to you in an expression of our gratitude and thankfulness for your present blessings on our lives. And dear God, we worship you in an acknowledgement and an expression of our faith of who you are, and that you are in control of the future. We thank you, dear God, for this opportunity, this season where we can be givers, the opportunity to give to you and to others. We thank you, God, that we've got friends and family that we can give to, that we can celebrate such a wondrous time with. We pray, God, that as we, for a few minutes, try and lift up the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would be honored and your people would be strengthened. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In Luke chapter number 2, if you would look down with me at verse number 9, we find the first word that I would like to look at this morning. And again, by no means are these all-inclusive. There's other words we could talk about. Many of the ones that were mentioned unto you already are great words that define Christmas. But we see here in verse number 9, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them." Glory. As we think about this Christmas season, this time of year, we think about the glory of it. The glory of the Lord. even though we come to the manger scene, this lowly manger scene where Jesus was born, and that in of itself is a humble scene. But the humility and the humbleness of the scene of the manger does not detract or take away from the glory of the Lord that was brought down to earth that day. It adds to it. Because God, in all of His glory, humbled Himself for you and I. The glory of the Lord was brought down to earth. Well, this was not, His birth was not in a palace, but He was still a king. He was the King of Kings, and He was born in a manger. The Greek word for this word glory here is doxa, from which we get the word doxology, which I don't know how many of you maybe have attended a church at some point or another that sang the doxology on a regular basis, but I'm sure you know the words, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him above. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praising God for who He is. The glory of the Lord brought down here to earth. There's almost no way to describe it. God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. His name is above every name that ever was, the name of Jesus. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth. And the thing, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. What's that last phrase? To the glory. The glory of God. I think as we think about this Christmas season, as we think about Jesus here in Luke chapter 2, one of the defining words could be that of glory. What a glorious time. What a glorious thing as we ponder that Jesus came to earth. Let's continue reading there. He says in verse number 9, he says, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings. Good tidings. What an exciting thing. This time of the year, good tidings. I'll tell you what, I know all the young people, all the good tidings they were really worried about is what's inside that box. What's the news they want to know is what's in there, even on the stage. Some kids were like, I don't know what this is. They're shaking it. A couple people told me they knew what they had. They're like, I know what this is. Yeah, they've got it figured out, right? But they want to know what's in that box. The Christmas time is about good tidings. The good news of Jesus Christ. The Greek of this word, the good tidings here, is euangelizo. Euangelizo. That Greek word there, the exciting thing about that Greek word is that although it's interpreted right here and given to us as good tidings in this text, this Greek word is found 21 times in the New Testament. And all of the other times, it's interpreted the gospel. The gospel. The exciting thing is these angels here, think about this, after 400 years of silence from heaven, pondering the path of the Old Testament, you think about how God led His people as a theocracy and He directed them and they, you know, then He gave them judges to help them get out of trouble and to guide them and to give them direction. He was dealing with them on a one-on-one basis. They said, give us a king. And they set up a king, but God still directing through the king. God leading through His people, sending the prophets and the are you guys awake? God sending His messengers to His people. And then we close the New Testament 400 years. Do you understand that's longer than America has been a country? 400 years. Could you imagine America 400 years without God? 400 years of nothing from the gates of heaven. And then the angels burst through and they come on the scene, and the first message that they've got for the people of earth from heaven, from God, is the good news. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. God's plan for the redemption of man. God's plan for the Savior of souls, that the Son would come and give His life, would die, would be buried, and raise again. They came on the scene and says, glory to the highest. Good news. The gospel is here. The gospel is here. What a defining word as we think about Christmas and Jesus Christ, who came in all of His glory. He came and brought unto us the good news. The gospel of Jesus Christ. It's about Jesus. He came and died and gave Himself for you. If you as an individual are here this morning and you have never accepted Jesus Christ's payment for the penalty of sin, that's why He came. You sing the Christmas carols and you maybe decorate a tree and you go out and you enjoy the Christmas lights. We're wowed by the magnificent things that we see at Christmas. Sometimes people put on light displays that are just unbelievable. They have to run extra power to the house to run the Christmas display. And we're wowed by that, but I wonder if the person in that house even knows what Christmas is for. I hope they do. I hope they know that it's the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. He goes on, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Great joy. I think about this Christmas season and this time of year and Christ's birth, and I think what could be a better word to describe Christmas than joy? Great joy. There's just something fun about Christmas time. There's something enjoyable about the whole season, about the joy of giving. You know, you have to get a little older, and it seems like the more mature you are, the more you really experience the joy of giving. It really becomes about what you can do for somebody else and the joy it is to give that and to impart that gift to somebody else and see that smile on their face. You know, it's important for the kids to recognize that they gave it to you. I know sometimes as adults we're like, oh, it's okay, it doesn't matter, I just want them to be happy. But we need to teach them to be thankful and to recognize that somebody gave that to them. But it's a joy to give, isn't it? Amen. It's a joy. I mean, it's just exciting. Andrew and I were out last night and we're shopping for some Christmas gifts. I know you guys are all done with your Christmas shopping already. You guys have everything ready to go for Christmas and you're relaxed. But Andrew and I were out shopping last night and I'm just like, what could we do? Could we give them this? Could we do this? What about this? You guys, we're having a good time just thinking about what we could do for somebody else. I mean, it's exciting to give. The joy of giving. The joy of being with family and friends this season. About getting together with family. Some of you are like, Pastor, you don't know my family. Well, for most people, it's a joy to get together with family, to be together. That's the exciting thing about being Christians and having the camaraderie of the Spirit of the Lord that beareth witness, that allows us to live together in joy and peace and harmony. God is one that makes that possible. It's a sad thing that so many families at this season get together and it's a week of heartache. It's 3 days of struggle and well, I'll endure it for one more day because grandma's here. After grandma's gone, I'm not coming to this thing. You know, whatever, I mean, hey, there ought to be joy in getting together with family, the joy of the young. I know this morning the reason that we moved the pulpit is because the first year that we did this, the kids sat down on the floor. And you guys couldn't see them. And I noticed the second year when we put them up here, you guys enjoyed it a lot more because it's just fun to see the kids excited and you know, thrilled about what's going on and wanting to get their gifts and seeing that joy, the joy of the young in this season, and they're just so excited about it. It's fun. The greatest joy that we have is the joy of the Lord. Amen. The joy of the Lord. You see, you have the joy of the Lord regardless of whether it's Christmas or not. You have the joy of the Lord whether you've got great relationships with your extended family or not. You have the joy of the Lord in your heart no matter what's going on in this earth. Sometimes there's trouble. Sometimes there's heartache. But we can still have the joy of the Lord. Amen? The joy of the Lord. Wow. This word joy, the Greek word here, is kara. Kara, from which we derive the word charismatic. You think about somebody who's charismatic. Somebody just, their personality, they're just bubbling with joy. They're just full of life and they're exciting to be around. Somebody not like me. Somebody, you know, somebody more charismatic and thrilled to be. They're just fun to be with. We just like being with them. They lift our spirit. They bring joy into our life because they're charismatic. That's what this word is talking about, that we ought to have the joy of the Lord. There ought to be something inside that's bubbling up, that's overflowing because of all that God's done. And you know, it's hard to hide a joyous spirit. It's hard to hide that joy when you're excited about what's going on and you're thrilled with what God's done for you and it's just a fun time of year and you're on cloud nine. I'll tell you what, people are like, what he's so happy about? Why are you so excited? Hey, it's Christmas and Jesus has come. We've got a reason to be excited. That's why we're excited. Man, I'll tell you what, the hustle and bustle and the traffic and all of the turmoil and the commercialization of this Christmas season has turned it into a drudgery. Oh, man, I got to go out again. Hey, don't let it get like that. Enjoy it because you got the joy of the Lord in your heart. Hey, spread the joy. The Savior, Emmanuel, is God with us. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. No wonder it's tidings of great joy. Because when everything else fails you, Jesus never will. You've got that joy in your heart. Jesus, to lift us up. We need to spread the joy of the Lord. We need to spread that joy. Spread it to our family, spread it to our friends, spread it to the people we come across. Because why? Because we have the good news. We have the good tidings. Hey, do you know what Christmas is about? It's about Jesus. Merry Christmas. Can I tell you what Jesus did for me? Amen. He saved me. But he does so much more than that. I trusted him as my Lord and Savior, and if that's all that he ever did for me, it's more than I deserve. But I owe all that I am. I owe all that I get to enjoy in this life. I owe the joy that it is to have the family that I have and the wife that I have. And five of my kids, I get to praise God. Now they're all wondering, which one was Dad talking about? The five kids that God's given me, this I owe it all to God. I owe it all to my Savior. I am unworthy and undone, but God has been so good to me. How can I not have the joy of the Lord when I ponder such great things? And it's because Jesus came. So as we think about Christmas, I know there's many words we could use, but from our text this morning, it's about the glory of the Lord that came down to earth. The glory wasn't taken because he came in a humble manger, but was magnified because he humbled himself and made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. It was magnified, the glory of God. The good tidings, it's about the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why he came. And it's about great joy, great joy. I hope you have the joy of the Lord in your heart, and I hope you share that joy with your loved ones, with your friends, and with your people that you come in contact with. After all, that is the job of the Christian, to share the joy of the Lord. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Lord, we come to you right now, and we thank you for each and every soul that's present today. We thank you for the joy that we have in the Lord. I pray, God, if there's one here that doesn't know you as their Savior, that they would come and get that settled today. Just take me by the hand and say, I need to know the Lord, and we'll show them. Dear God, would you give them the strength to step out and do it? Lord, I pray that as the church family has ever lifted their hands to say, God spoke to me this morning, I pray, God, that you would solidify in their heart what you would have them do. And Lord, we just pray we would remember these things as we celebrate this wonderful season. In Jesus' blessed name, amen.